Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Because it was approved once. We did the modifications to do that.
Yes.
Now you're saying that you want three new things after we did the community support.
I don't think I'm communicating that we want new things.
So, Mike, I've never heard the phrase, what's the difference between a county public purpose and a public purpose? I mean, that sounds like a made-up difference.
I don't know. I really honestly think you're making it complicated, Cody. And, I mean, to a point where it's becoming painful. And I'm exhausted by it. I want to get to this, but anyways. Legislatures. If this isn't a public purpose, Cody, what do you want, a pint of blood?
So that's the county commission meeting where they were talking about the discretionary funds policy. Remember, each county commissioner gets $50,000, so $250,000 per year across the county, and they can spend it basically on what they individually want in their district. If uncharitable term slush fund, more charitable term discretionary fund, they can give it to, they can do a roads project, a small roads project, put a sidewalk in, or they might give money to a group of people, kids who go to Tallahassee to learn more about how government works, which is what the case in point was. And it was an American Legion related, and it had already been spent, and the kids had already gone, but the clerk's office has raised some questions, basically, because they said, this is what we need in order to approve this money. And you guys are not giving us what we need. You're not filling out the forms properly. We don't know for sure that the kids are Escambia County kids. It's not clear that even if they are, that it's a county public purpose as opposed to just generally a public purpose. These are the kinds of questions that we're asking. And Stephen Barry is miffed because he's been doing this now for, 13 years? And they give out money all the time. And, he thinks it's ridiculous. Mike Kohler, who also wants to be able to use the money to do things that he thinks are good, which, generally speaking, the things are very good. It's just a question of whether they are legitimate county public purpose items and whether the bookkeeping and tracking and proof that they are legitimate has been done properly. And Mike Kohler is frustrated because he wants to get to yes. And what they feel like and what Stephen Barry specifically alleged is it feels like you're just putting limits on us so that you can say no whenever you want to and punish the legislators that you don't like. That's what he said. That's what it, kind of looks like what you're trying to do.
Some things are pretty simple. That just seems like it gives you the wiggle room to find a justification to not approve whatever you don't want to approve, or depending on, what commissioners they came from.
Ouch. But then again, just to say it this way, there has been a lot of friction over the years between Pam Childers, the clerk of the court and comptroller, and the particularly some members of the county commission, most specifically Lumen May and Stephen Barry, and of course formerly Jeff Bergosh, and now he's not there anymore. Mike Kohler is, one that at the moment on this issue anyway, there's some friction and they're trying to figure it out. Cody Lee is the one who's he's the attorney, represents the clerk, and she wasn't at the meeting, so he's the one that's doing the talking on her behalf. But there's a part of me that grasps why Mike is frustrated. There's also a part of me that grasps that Pam is trying to do the thing to make sure that we don't get audited and get dinged or get told that what we spent it on was illegal and is wanting to have a policy in place to make it straightforward. And, the basic problem is that for so many years, the county commissioners have gotten in the habit of being kind of the big man on campus. We can donate to all these funds. And historically, when you have these conversations, it's like, well, I'll give $500 to the team. Well, I'll give $600 to the team, and I'll give you $700, and we can all be in it together, and they can feel good about themselves when what they're really doing is private charity with public money. And it's not that any of these recipients are problems or bad. They're all good. But should the county commission or the city council be handing out what look an awful lot like individual rather than group collective county favors and being able to make it seem like they're doing a good thing themselves? And Cody's like, and Pam basically said, a lot of these things, it seems like you should just give your own money. It doesn't seem like taxpayer funding. And even something that's good like a teacher recognition. Well, that seems like a school board thing, not a county thing. And so you have these conversations. And then Lumen May is bringing up other examples.
You have to get legally, what's the document? What can we can do? What can't we do? I mean, I'm told you can't buy hot dogs. You know, for the last 15 years, we bought book bags and supplies for poor children that can't afford it. I don't know what's more of a public purpose. And I don't know when the state legislator allocates money for bikes for people's health and the state does it. I don't know why we can't do that when the state is allocating those dollars. Whatever the rule is, I just want to go by that rule.
Of course, he's not saying exactly that. He's also saying it looks like this is obviously a public purpose to feed these poor kids. Well, that's an individual purpose to those children. Is that within the county purview? Well, that's the question.
Come here. I mean, dude, you're talking $500. We've had $500 worth of conversation. It's about $10,000 sitting in here for the last 10 hours. We could have given a lot of children money. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not good governance and it's not good government. I mean, and so whatever the rule is, we should play by the rules. You're going to say we can't feed children hot dogs, but we just fed people who make $200,000 a year pizzas and Chick-fil-A. I mean, maybe.
He's saying in the back room, the staff that make a lot of money, we're feeding them, but we can't feed the poor kids.
To McDonald's or Crystal's, I don't know. But we are paying, we're buying people that work. You're going to tell me that people who are employed and getting paid, we can buy them pizzas and chicken and burgers. But poor children that don't have anything to eat, we can't buy them an Oscar winner hot dog. That's not right. And so, but whatever that policy is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean.
Well, but there's a difference, right, between buying the employees who are obligated to be at this event food, if you so do, and spending money which might be viewed as currying political support with the population who you would like them to vote for you again next time around. And you can say, well, don't you remember all those great hot dog roasts that I paid for as your county commissioner? I mean, they are different.
But, Mike, this is what we should.
Oh, sorry. I'm late to traffic. Candy's waiting eagerly. Sorry.
No. That's okay. The roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Shemukla Highway, Woodbine, and Berry Hill all clear. No problems. It looks like NAS is fine, too. If you see a slowdown or an accident, 437-1620. You can text. I'm Candy. Traffic with the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Lumen May and talking about this discretionary fund policy in Escambia County.
But, Mike, this is what we should have discussed. What is a common good, as Commissioner Berry just said? What is a common good thing? I mean, Cody, I would ask that question. What is a common good that we can do? I mean, we just allocate millions to the Children's Trust. I mean, they buy vans and gasoline to take children around. It's the same tax dollars. I mean, we feed people all the time. I mean, you know, we buy water. I mean, it's a public good. We buy employees' shoes and jackets. I mean, so define it and say what's clear and what's not. We provide people with cars and transportation. I mean, is that a public good? I don't know. I mean, but every time we come, we've come here and have been put on a pause for people who need it. People who were dependent on it. I mean, you mean it's not a common good for a child that needed a uniform on Washington High team or to provide them with money for a rental van to take kids to the Florida State camp? I mean, I would argue that it's a public good, but they're being denied. And I'm not putting it back on the agenda to give people anticipation that they're going to get something or not. I just think it's bad. I think until we get it right, we shouldn't put it on the agenda. That's all I'm saying, Mike.
And look, again, I get his frustration as he wants to do all these good things and he thinks they're good things and we've done them all this way for so long. But what Pam is saying through Cody is, look, it's time to course correct and we need to do things differently. And good for a person is not the same as good for the county or for the public, even if it is a sort of a for anybody program. That's not the same as being good for everybody. It's the difference between, I don't know, creating a park or buying individual tickets for people to go to Blue Wahoos games. They're not the same. One is an individual benefit. One is a collective benefit. Is it a county purpose? Is it a not county, like a school board or an ECUA purpose? These are the questions that they're now asking.
Not in any way being negative. Like, I get it. It's a smaller. We got a $1 billion budget almost, and we're arguing over $400, $500. That's senseless. I mean, we all make more than that now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's $250,000 a year in the aggregate, and having a clear policy about what you can and cannot use that money for is not a small thing when it adds up to millions of dollars over the course of time. Ashley Hoffberger.
I do have a request, and I agree it's really muddy and it's really confusing, and it is only $500. But is there a way you guys can look at maybe all of the requests that went through last year and send us a yes-no list? That way we have a little bit of a guideline I mean, what guidance can
you give
to
us? That's kind of the dialogue we're hoping to get from by seeing the list back to County OMB, that they would, you know, review it, and then we would get some dialogue. But we're now at the board meeting, and so this is the dialogue.
Meaning we were trying to work this out with staff, and here you've put it on the agenda, and so we're kind of at this point where I just wanted to let you know, don't assume this is going to get approved, because there's still some outstanding questions about this particular one.
I've done that with travel, and your staff have come back, and we had this kind of discussion.
But we emailed the county, and now it's on the board agenda. That's the path it took, and so we're here now talking about it.
When this is not how they prefer to resolve it.
I think for these discretionary items, these community support fund items, which are, they're all not core county functions. A lot of the things that the county expends, I can go down the list of county powers, right? Parks, fire, and it matches. You can find it.
It's a lot of it's very really, subjective.
And so we're off into a rather gray area with this community support discretionary fund policy, and I've communicated that before in the memo, and so it is gray.
It's difficult to figure this out, and that's why they're trying to work it out instead of just letting it go and saying we've done it this way for so long, why not? I mean, if you take, you know, individual commissioner like Lumen May, okay, he's been in office what, 13 years, $50,000 a year is what, $650,000 that he has personally given away to a lot of charitable causes. Are they good causes? Yeah. Should a commissioner be able to give $250,000 away to charitable events over the years? Well, that's the question, right?
This one has already been spent. All I'm saying is I'd like to try it and see if she'll... Yeah, okay.
I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah.
It's $500, man.
Hey, man.
Why don't we just all give up $100 and get and donate it?
Well, discussion's important because we're either going to have community support funds or we're not. Right. And I mean that. If we're not going to have them, I need you to come back and say we're never going to support them, so the board knows what to do.
I think we're gonna scrutinize them. I mean, I do. We do,
man,
that.
I hope we're going to scrutinize your budget like you do our.
Hey, look at that! See, if you're going to scrutinize our budget, maybe we look at yours.
We do,
man,
that.
I hope
we're
going to scrutinize your budget like you do our these funds.
I think
you
we have.
I'm kidding, Cody.
I think we have to. Okay. And you know, Commissioner May, good point. You know, maybe this is a personal donation. I mean. Maybe some of these things are.
I mean, Lumen was joking we should each collect $100, but Cody's like, I mean, yeah. Because if you did it that way, there'd be no problem. Allison Rogers is going to get involved in this conversation. She's the county attorney.
Well, just that respectfully, you guys,
By the way, nobody ever actually communicates respect when they begin respectfully.
I know.
Respectfully, you guys, it does matter what your opinion is. It does matter. You're the legislative body, the five of you. Most of these things.
Well, our opinion has been that we wanted to get it approved, and they ain't got approved, and then people ain't got paid. So, to me, my opinion doesn't matter.
Not because it's not legal. You guys are the ones who are supposed to decide what serves a public purpose, and you have very broad discretion to make that legislative finding. You all are the legislative body, and when somebody else is trying to make that decision, then you've got a separation of powers problem that's happening.
So she's saying that the board has the power to decide what is a public purpose, and Pam's saying within limits, and Allison is accusing Pam of taking the legislative authority, right?
What serves a public purpose is not the council to the clerk's decision to make.
Ouch.
It's not.
It is the clerk's decision, though. I'm here.
What serves a public purpose
one
is not
time,
her
please.
Decision.
So sorry.
That's a legislative decision.
And I would respectfully disagree. And no, the counsel for the clerk does not make that decision, but the clerk's office does.
So it's not the counsel, not him. It's the clerk that gets to make this decision.
I think we worked very hard to do the community support funds, and I think I'm expressing my utter frustration. And if you waste my time to do work with legal, you're going to irritate me. and I'm irritated. If you're not going to pay community support funds, have the courage to say it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm tired of having this conversation. If we don't want to do it, and every other county can do it, just say we're not going to do it. But don't waste my time anymore working with legal in your office to play games. It's not right. My time's valuable just like yours. And I'm trying to do what's right here.
Wow. So, you know, they wind up having the vote. They vote 5-0. We're going to see what the clerk comes back with on this. And, you know, somebody texts in, instead of doing this in public, why not craft a memo outlining the guidelines and send it to the BOC? They did that. That's been done. In fact, they voted on a policy. And then in the forms, apparently, they're not really completing all the forms that are part of this policy. So, yeah, it's a big deal and it's a small deal. In a, you know, almost $1 billion budget, it's not the biggest of things. But when you're talking about, you know, $50,000 a year per commissioner and how they spend it and whether it's for real county purposes or whether it's for sort of personal favor currying, which is the worst version of this, right? Well, that's what they're trying to figure out. And I'm sympathetic to both sides. But I also think that the county commissioners have gotten accustomed to being able to do whatever they want with the money, and the clerk is saying, yeah, I don't think we should do that anymore. 725 on News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic for us.
All right, not showing any problems on Cervantes Bayfront Parkway, showing no delays. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text 437-1620. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Bands on the Beach is brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's 12-11. There's no place I'd rather. An energetic and dynamic pop and R&B band with a vast range of dance-worthy songs with warm vocals and infectious grooves. So join us this Tuesday as 1211 is ready to bring the party to the beach. It's Bands on the Beach with 1211. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
I love that you're singing, and I love that your singing was interrupted by your coughing.
I've been eating Famous Amos cookies and Pringles. We're celebrating Junk Food Day.
I know, it's great. It's good to have you
with
back on the show,
friends,
even just for a couple of days.
I know, this is fun. I hope people get sick more often.
David.
Not really.
David is in the newsroom with our headlines.
Yeah,
David.
Not you, David.
Oh, goodness. Well, good morning. Scotty Scheffler continuing to add to his resume. He won the Open Championship at Royal Portrush Golf Club in Ireland.
Would you call me?
Shut up, Portrush.
Scheffler finished at the top of the leaderboard at 17 under par. He won the tournament by 4 strokes. I guess that's good. I'm not much of a golfer.
That is really good. If he won by 4, that's really good.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
That's domination. Yeah. That's
are
like
you, are
that's
you a
like,
golf person?
That's like a 12-1 score in baseball, winning by four strokes in a tournament like that. Yeah.
Excuse us. We need a better class of friends, David.
Apparently, yeah. No, police are still looking for a man wanted for shooting the driver that crashed his vehicle into a crowd. This is at that nightclub in Los Angeles. Police have released surveillance photos of that man who's believed to have shot 29-year-old Fernando Ramirez after he drove his car into the crowd, injuring dozens of people early on Saturday morning. And the Chicago Bulls making the news today. They have apparently signed the shortest player in the NBA, 5'8" Japanese point guard Yuki Kawamura. Kawamura is the league's shortest player and the only player in the league that stands at less than 6 feet tall.
5'8" is the shortest player?
Apparently.
I mean, Muggsy Bogues was like 5'3". You're telling me that the shortest player in the NBA is 5'8"?
About Spud Webb?
I can't even be that. Well, I mean, I would be the shortest.
It's a growing sport.
Oh. Look at you.
We'll hold you up.
All right. We'll be back in a minute.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop of the White House, touting the accomplishments of the second term of President Trump. Always seems to be working, including today.
The legal battle between the administration and Harvard over federal funding moves forward. Tomorrow, the president will meet with Filipino President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. for trade talks at the White House. And on Wednesday, he'll deliver an address on artificial intelligence. Finally, on Friday, he heads to the U.K. to meet with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
Fox's Doug Luzzetta reporting this morning, President Trump's Russian counterpart could meet if they both travel to China for events marking the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. That word from the Kremlin today, a Russian president will be in China. There's no word if President Trump is going to the event. Some delays and cancellations this morning for Alaska Airlines, which is up and flying again following a ground stop last night. Company blaming it on an IT outage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 82 right now and clear skies. It's the start to a real warm day. We've got 82 degrees and the heat index already hitting 98 this morning in Pensacola. We'll get more on our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A 31-year-old man was arrested after fleeing from deputies during an attempted traffic stop in a stolen vehicle over the weekend. Deputies say the vehicle that Kyler Robert Jordan fled in was later found abandoned. Jordan's now facing several charges, including grand theft auto, fleeing and eluding, driving with a suspended license as a habitual offender, and obstruction. He also had warrants from police departments in Mississippi for felony fleeing and child endangerment. Two people taken to the hospital after a fire at a local auto body shop. Fire crews were called to the Mako Auto Body Painting and Repair on Burgess Road about noon on Saturday. Channel 3 had video showing smoke coming from that building. Right now, there's no word on the severity of the charges. State health officials urging swimmers to watch out for flesh-eating bacteria.
Four people have died and seven have fallen sick recently from Vibrio vulnificus, a bacteria which thrives in warm coastal areas and leads to rapidly expanding skin infections. It can also cause vomiting and diarrhea. Officials say people with open wounds, piercings, and fresh tattoos are at a higher risk and should avoid warm beach water. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Or Lisa, it is a high-profile civil rights lawyer now representing a Jacksonville man involved in a violent arrest. Attorney Ben Crump announcing yesterday that he's representing William McNeil Jr. Online videos showed a Jacksonville sheriff's officer punching him during a traffic stop that was 5 months ago. The officer punched McNeil's window until it broke, then punched McNeil. The video then showed the officer pulling McNeil from the car and punching him in the chin. Crump says it should be obvious to anyone watching the video that McNeil was not a threat. Well, the defending World Little League champions could get a chance to defend their title. The Lake Mary Little League team from Seminole County won the state championship yesterday in Melbourne. They beat Bayshore 10-0 for their third straight state title. Lake Mary now advances to the Southeast Regionals in Georgia next week. The regional winner then advances to the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Last year, Lake Mary became the first Florida team to ever win the Little League World Series. Well, it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3.
It almost is.
Almost. Yeah. Right about there.
Yeah, let's take a look at the roads. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like Highway 98 is clear. Same thing with I-10, I-110, 90 clear from Scenic all the way up through the other side of 90, which goes through Pace and Milton. No problems right now. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text 437-1620. I'm Candy sitting in for John Pickens today with traffic on the fives. Good morning.
We do have a small 20% chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, feeling hot, mostly sunny skies, high near 93. Temperatures will feel closer to 110 with the heat index. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Tuesday, 30% chance of a stray shower, high near 94. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
82 right now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 80 in Milton. We've got a heat index already topping 98 degrees. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ryanair said its net profit more than doubled in its April to June quarter on higher than expected last minute fares and the timing of the Easter holiday, while bookings for the rest of the summer are robust. The Irish airline reported a net profit of $953 million for its first quarter. Warner Brothers Pictures' Superman flew past the competition for the second straight week, grossing an estimated $57.25 million to top the weekend box office. It has now grossed $235 million domestically and more than $406 million worldwide. Peacock will soon be charging consumers more per month. The Comcast-owned streaming service said it is hiking its subscription rates by $3. Beginning on July 23rd, new and returning subscribers will pay $10.99 a month for Peacock Premium and $16.99 a month for Premium Plus. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 142, the NASDAQ up 10, the S&P 500 down roughly half a point. That's Your Money Now.
This commercial is for people like you. People who enjoy taking long hot showers, who never want to run out of hot water ever again. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we are pleased to offer natural gas tankless water heaters. With a natural gas tankless water heater, you'll be able to save space, money, and energy every month. Plus, never run out of hot water. You could qualify for significant rebates from your hometown gas provider just for replacing your existing water heater with a natural gas tankless water heater. You're just a quick phone call away from endless hot water. Time is limited, so call Barbieri Plumbing for all the details. And remember, Barbieri Plumbing always uses the flat rate pricing system, so you'll know exactly what you will pay before the work begins. Call Barbieri Plumbing today, 850-477-8782.
License RF 1106-7749.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, and a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
a parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand.
And I want to apologize to the residents of District 2 for what's happening with sanitation. It's been embarrassing to be a council member. First with the yard waste not being picked up, we had that. We've got issues with garbage pickup now. And, you know, as someone who's on council, I don't know if every other council member knew that this was happening this week. I did not know this was the week when we were going to one pickup. I did not know the day that my neighborhood was going to do that. And so there were a bunch of cans out there today. My day is Monday, which, as you know, a busy person, sometimes we miss the day that we are supposed to put our trash out. I did happen to miss it on Monday. Ran out there after the truck had gone by. So my can is overflowing at this point. And there are a number of people in my neighborhood whose can is overflowing, which I saw today. So we're going to have to wait till Monday.
So City Councilmember Charles Baer basically apologizing for how badly the city has done messaging on the sanitation and recycling changes. Even he did not know his own street was going to once a week recycling and which day it was.
I really think the communication, you know, those of us that have served in the military know communication is key. I don't think communication was very good on this. One mailer, which I think had the mayor's neighborhood cleanup information on the front of it, it should have said in bold print or something that your garbage service is changing, and should have been very specific about when it's going to happen and that you need to know when that date's going to be, because I don't think anyone in my neighborhood really knew either.
And he's embarrassed, basically, that city council didn't know or do or oversee or whatever.
I'm embarrassed because I should have known. I should have been able to tell people, and unfortunately, I did not know.
And he was not the only one who expressed that same sentiment, Jen Brayer.
Once again, the mayor and I have a town hall on the 22nd at 6:30 at Vickery. And you can bet we better be ready to answer sanitation questions. So, I mean, there is no doubt that that is at the forefront of frustrations. Yesterday morning by 11 a.m., I had had 11 calls. I have every day. I never knew I was going to be a sanitation worker, but I am, right? I'm full in. And the reality is I miss the flyer. My garbage sat out from Monday till today too. I mean, as my entire neighborhood did. So, you know, it wasn't a few people getting this wrong. This was, in my particular area, this was the majority of getting it wrong.
And not just her, but like everybody. And she's frustrated with herself. She feels like they didn't do a great job.
I fully, fully am upset with myself for not fully understanding that when I voted on it. And I know that it's being pointed out there regularly that we are the ones who voted on this, that this is on our shoulders, and it is. And I think that we have handled this as a group very, very poorly. And I'm just as frustrated with for us all.
And remember, what the change is there's a change in the rates, and there's a change in the regularity of the schedule. Like, it's not twice a week, it's once a week. And then you pay extra to have a second can or to have a recycling can. And, you know, the rate has gone up, but it's gone down compared to what it should have been anyway. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a little bit of a both and kind of situation. But most people apparently did not realize the changes were coming, didn't know that it was going to go. I thought everybody knew it was going to go to once a week, but maybe they just didn't know when. And so there's, you know, hey, if a few people are, and it's not just a few people who miss this, it's apparently loads, hundreds, maybe thousands of people out of the 21,000 sanitation customers in the city.
Very simply.
Oh, sorry.
There's no doubt that we have a lot of disappointment in how we've handled this. And us, I mean, we voted for this, and I feel terrible about that.
Yeah, and so, you know, garbage is important, and she's not exaggerating when she says this.
Very simply, competently taking care of garbage makes or breaks civilizations throughout history. Like, this is not a little deal, but this is a fundamental thing that we've got to get right for our citizens.
So it's not that the recycling was added, it's that the twice a week collection was eliminated. That seems to be the real flashpoint of this thing, that and also the price, which, you know, there were some people who were very frustrated about this, including one Thomas Fisher, I believe is the guy's name.
My name is Thomas Fisher. I live up on up in Eastgate. And like I guess everybody in my neighborhood found out we didn't get garbage pickup Monday when nobody picked up our garbage. So I called them Tuesday morning and asked them, I said, what's going on? I didn't get my garbage picked up, and she informed me that I wouldn't be getting it anymore on Mondays, but now I cut back to one day a week, and that my cost of my garbage is going up, but I'm getting my garbage cut in half. And that for an extra $8 a month, I can get a second pickup, or for an extra $8 a month, I can get a recycling bin so that I can pay y'all to recycle my garbage. Is that what's going on now? Because, you know, I was caught by surprise, and apparently everybody else was too. So
the price has gone up, the service has been cut in half, and now you're asking me to recycle by paying you money to recycle my garbage. What the what? Or as I haven't really had a chance to use this very much, but it is going to be one of my very favorite sound clips. When Michelle Salzman filled in for me.
What the Florida? I heard her say that, Golly.
And I'm going to have to find more reasons to use that because.
she was on with Jen Harrison.
There's a slightly more direct way that I think expresses the sentiment of a lot of people.
Boo!
We're going to Pickens as hard as you.
7:45 News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the five.
So there's a stopped semi truck in the north right lane of westbound Highway 98. It's around Country Club Road access, right from Vinoy, across from Vinoy, rather. Backed up in both directions right now on Highway 98, Tiger Point. Some of that is due to construction, but it's both east and west of the Garcon / Avalon turnoff. So just something to keep in mind. 98 real, real slow this morning. If you see a slowdown or an accident, text 437-1620. I am Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. Hey, if you have to take care of some pests because, you know, we all have them. It's Florida and it's hot and so they're out. Mosquitoes, termites, cockroaches, ants, spiders. I don't know. Everybody's got different ones. Some of you may have more than one. You know, you may have multiple symptoms. Insect pest control, they can come out and take care of that. They identify and target and eliminate the most common household pests like roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, anything with guaranteed results. Professional techs show up on time, take photos, tell you what's going on. The estimates are always free. And then that's one of the things is you might have some idea of how much it's going to cost. And why not have them come out and take a look and find out? It might be, I mean, I don't know. It might be more than you think. Might be less than you think. Might be what you think. But in any case, you can get information then make an adult decision, right? If you do go ahead and become a customer, they'll take photos of what they did. They'll send you an information in the email so you have it all available to you. From inspection to treatment to follow-up, Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. For a limited time, new annual pest control customers get $50 off. There are some restrictions that apply. And again, the estimates are always free. Sign up or find out more at NSEC, E-N-S-E-C. .net. Back to the question about sanitation and recycling and all of this that came up at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday, where a lot of people discovered that their trash hadn't got picked up on Monday and they were mad and they showed up to the the City Council meeting on Thursday to express it. And I think Thomas Fisher was really the most poignant of them explaining all of this.
Is our garbage going up and have we been cut to our garbage in half?
So what I'll tell you is it's coming down $3 for your base sanitation rate.
Okay.
So it'll come down $3 if you're just doing that one can. If you want a second can or a recycle can, it's $8 above that baseline rate. So it's basically $5 up from where you're at.
So if I keep getting what I've been paying for, I have to pay another $8, right?
It's going to be on the same day, though.
Same day, correct.
So what is the point in that?
What is the point in that? Yeah, you can't buy second day service. That's just not available anymore, and that's part of this change is the change because it's costly, right, to do 2 day a week service, and it's damaging to the roads and it's bad for the equipment to run all those miles twice. But yeah, that's what I think a lot of people, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit on the show, that
why would you need your garbage picked up twice?
Well, okay, so that's what I say, because I live in the county, we get once a week service from ECUA and it's fine.
Unless it's a business.
And these are not businesses, these are individuals. But a lot of people, they like the twice a week service because it feels more like concierge service because they're in a city where they're paying extra money. It also feels like, for example,
Rockefeller doesn't want to pay. I mean, God, but, give me a break.
But if you have, for example,
if
you have stinky stuff, you know, chicken, for example, and if you've lived with twice a week service and you're used to putting it in, you know, and not stinking up your, and houses are closer together because it's in the city. I think it's silly to think that you've got to have twice a week service, but I get where the people are coming from who have had it and paid for it, and now all of a sudden it's not available to them anymore, and they're frustrated.
So you've historically had three collections in the city. I'd rather let you put all your questions, because you've got 3 minutes. I'd rather you throw all your questions, and then we'll figure out how to answer it, and if it may be an after the meeting diet.
Can you opt out of garbage pickup? Or you still are no. So yeah. I got a dumpster about 30 feet from my house that I've been paying for 35 years that I can't use for my own personal garbage because I got to pay, the city to.
You know what? Let me.
Can I just opt out?
Why do you have a dumpster?
Because he's got a business right next to his house.
Oh, go ahead.
And sorry, he just wants to be, I don't need garbage pickup at all. Can I go that route and save 25 bucks a month?
I just don't understand why we weren't informed of this. Or any of this. I read my mail. I was told I got a card. I don't know where it went. Anyway, all right.
So, yeah. And I think that he's not alone in having this reaction to this change. So, what do you think? If you live in the city, you've gone now to, you know, once a week service.
It's illegal not to have service.
Well, he's saying, but I have been.
No, I know, but I'm saying
right,
though,
and he's complaining about that.
Yeah,
right?
It's
which
stupid.
I'd rather, you know, and some people, some people don't put out enough garbage to even justify one can a week.
Right.
You know, some like
lady
living on her own. Right, yeah. Exactly. She doesn't consume very much.
A little
doesn't make very much waste, and so she could probably get by with like a little mini bucket. a 2 gallon.
They have those, for seniors.
But that's again not available. 437-1620. It's interesting listening to both city council members who did not understand this change was coming, even though they voted for the change and didn't know that it was happening that week. I don't know if it's fair to say they didn't know it was coming at all. None of the other city council members volunteered, but I don't know whether the rest of them knew. It seems to me, as a non-city resident, and we talk to the mayor every week, and listen to his press conference, and we try to publicize this information. It seems to me like the messaging around recycling has been pretty good, telling you that that's coming, telling you that it is an opt-in. And the messaging that there would be generally from a twice a week to a once a week, that was a little bit less good, but still somewhat good. But I don't remember any specific messaging that this was the week. Now, I don't live in the city, so I wouldn't get a mailer. But it seems like that was kind of the flashpoint, is that even the people who generally knew this was coming didn't know that it was starting last Monday. And the people who didn't know this was coming all of a sudden weren't getting trash collected on Monday, and they didn't know what was going on. The world was ending. And so the specific start date for the new drop in service was apparently the thing that people did not grasp or was not shared properly. And, you know, at some point, if people don't know, people don't know. And if you make a change and people didn't know about it, kind of regardless of why, that's a failure. So we'll talk to the mayor about that when he's on Wednesday. And I expect, as a business owner, he'd kind of view it the same way, as, you know, we tried and tried and tried. But hey, look, at the end of the day, you know, if people didn't know, people didn't know. And ultimately, it's on us as the provider, as the service provider, to inform people what's happening. 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy is sitting in for a couple of days here while John Pickens is out with traffic on the fives. Candy?
And I'm glad nobody else could do this so that I can come in. This is fun. I love News Radio. And when I'm not here, I'm listening to it and texting in just like you. Stopped a semi-truck.
I've totally converted you, by the way.
I know, dude. I hate it. I hate it. I can never saw myself listening to news talk, like, you know, as a
TK
person.
And cat lady is all of a sudden
oh my
like a
God.
News hound.
Yeah, I am just, I hate myself. It's like, all I can do is listen to the news. You know what's going on. Stop semi-truck in the north right lane of, this is westbound 98 around Country Club Road, across from Vinoy, so in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point area. And it's also backed up in both directions on 98, east and west, so that turn off to Garcon slash Avalon due to construction. So watch for your road zones. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text 437-1620. I am Candy with traffic on the five. Sorry,
thanks so much, Candy. Back to all of these people that are frustrated about the changes in sanitation in the city of Pensacola. Somebody says, I got my mailer, I glanced at it and threw it away. If the price goes down, I think that's fair, but paying the same price for less is where an issue would arise. And somebody else actually sent me the mailer. Where did it go? I was looking at it just a second ago. And if you look at it, it's got, you know, at the top, recycling news, Pensacola City Sanitation updates, curbside recycling is available, sign up now, scan the QR code or call, and then it's got garbage and waste collection in the middle in a blue grid that tells you about special dates, Labor Day, Veterans Day, all of that. And then not quite at the very bottom, but pretty close to the bottom in, I don't know, it's white on blue text and white text on blue background. It says, starting the week of July 14th, your new garbage underlined, highlighted, big, bold garbage collection day is Thursday. Your yard waste collection day is not changing. If I look at this mailer, I didn't see it. You have to read the whole thing to get there. And
yeah, that's why they send them to you.
No. I think this is one of those, like, no human nature kind of things. It should have been in red, giant. I kind of agree with Charles Baer. Like, at the top, your day is changing to once a week.
I mean, we got, like, a flamingo, a friend, all of Escambia County now? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's, like, it's not that they didn't say it. It's that
people can't read in the city.
You got to know people. And I think this is one of those. I think a lot of people feel like the messaging wasn't adequate. And this is somebody says, like, I read the paper, I listen to news radio, I watch TV. You just got to go crazy with the in your faceness of it for something like this.
You got to Alexander Shinara the billboards with it.
That's exactly right.
Yes, you do.
Because otherwise, people are going to say, I didn't know. Like, two city council members said they didn't know. We are so flooded with information, you've got to grab somebody's attention. I get it. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Here we go.
Sorry.
There's a new study out saying some vape flavors can apparently become addictive even without nicotine. This is a study done by Marshall University. They say vanilla and cherry, or just vanilla alone, can activate the dopamine system and other receptors associated with addiction. and that raises the risks of addiction-like behaviors in teens, despite those vapes being sold as being nicotine-free.
Wait, so you're telling me I can acquire an addiction, it'll give me a dopamine hit, and all it does is cost me money, and I can pretend to smoke no nicotine?
Yeah, doesn't that sound great?
I'm in. I've been looking for a new
addiction. We should all start smoking.
Yeah, sure. Let's all start vaping.
Let's look cool.
Definitely looks cool. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
It'd be a great habit to have. Pope Leo is commenting on the barbarity of war after an Israeli attack on the only Catholic church in Gaza. He spoke Sunday of his deep sorrow while reading out the names of the people killed at the Holy Family Church on Thursday. The attack killed 3 and wounded 9, including a priest.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Your text at 437-1620. Sheriff Johnson will be here in just a minute from Santa Rosa County. We'll talk about that. And it's hot today. Heat index pushing 105 to 110, so be careful.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com.